Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. We are in the book of Colossians, the third chapter, and we'll be reading verse 17, and then we'll get down to verse 23 and 24. And it says there, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus." Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just thankful for the opportunity to be here, Lord, and to worship you and to sing praises to your name. And Lord, as we turn our thoughts to you and look at a portion of your word, just ask you to open our hearts and minds that we'll take it and apply it to our everyday lives, and we may be better servants for you. And Lord, we especially pray for those who may not know you, that have not ever accepted you as Savior, Lord, that you'll press upon their heart the need to come to know you and accept you as their Savior. Lord, we're thankful for all that you've done for us. Forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're continuing looking at the concept of children of God. And this morning we're going to talk about what we should do. So there are some 39 things that changed when we were saved. 18 of those is what we were, right? And we've looked at those lists, what we were before we were saved. And then when we were saved, there's 21 things that changed as to what we are as children of God. And I have said before, when I was saved, there was two main things that I knew. One, I was going to hell, and two, that I was a sinner. That, and God changed those two things, but there was many other things that God has done for us. So in dealing with the idea of children of God, we need to talk about what we should be and what we should do. When we talk about children of God, and we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, what we should be, it's about our character. And we talked about those eight things. And that is about our sanctification, about our obedience to God in what we are to be, in who we are in our relationship to God. And then the second thing in dealing with our sanctification and our obedience, once we are what we're to be as a child of God, honest and obedient and all those kinds of things, then there are some actions that are to take place on our part. And this is what we're going to look at this morning, seven actions, seven things that we should do in our relationship with God. Again, this is talking about our sanctification. Now, here's the thing. In things that we're to do in dealing with a child of God, in our relationship with God, in our obedience to God, it is about our choices, right? I choose whether or not to obey God. It's interesting, Jesus dealt with this even during his personal ministry. And he gave this reaction. He says, "Why call me Lord, Lord?" Right? And the word there in the Greek literally means master. From the standpoint of master and slave, and there's a concept in the Old Testament of a bond slave, it's more like a household servant, and the master takes care of him and his family, or her and her family. So it's not quite the idea of a mean slave or a mean master lording over
the servant, but the idea of a bond slave and the idea here is that the master takes care of and provides everything that he needs, and then we serve in response to that. And so Jesus says, why call me Lord, Lord? Why say I'm your master and yet do not the things which I say, right? So you're not really a servant if you're not doing what the Lord tells us. You're not being obedient. And so we find when we talk about these issues of what we should do in our relationship to God, it's about our choices, the choices that we make. James says this in James 4:17, therefore, in dealing with our choices, right? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, right? To him it is sin. Now, I have often said that the hardest part about being a child of God isn't what we know. We it's not like we don't know. Do we know that we shouldn't get angry and we shouldn't say things and we shouldn't that we should read our Bible, we should go to church, and we know what we should do. But here's the thing. In the last week, if you were to take a scorecard, how did you do? Are there some things you know you should have done and you didn't do? And I bet every one of us have things that we know we should have done, right? And so it's not the knowing, it's the how to perform it. That's the struggle. That's the choices that we make. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, then that becomes sin. Again, you know, I think 95% of us know what we should do. We know all of those things. Now, rarely do I preach a sermon that, hey, you should do this or you should do that, and you say, aha, I never heard that I should do that. Those things come up from time to time, but we pretty much know it's the doing it, right? It's the choice to do it. It's the how to perform it. And when we don't perform, when we don't do those things we should and do those things we shouldn't do, right, that becomes sin when we know what we should be doing. And so we find that it's not all on us. God has asked us to do things, and in asking us to do things, he has also said that he will help us, he will empower us to do these if we choose to do these. I can do all things through Christ, the Apostle Paul says, which gives me the strength to accomplish all these things that God has asked me to do. Now, if you notice, that says, I can do all things through Christ, right? So Jesus gives me strength. In Philippians 2:13, he says, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Yes, it's the how to perform it, but God has given us, strengthened us through Jesus Christ, through God the Father, to do his good pleasure, to do the will of God. And then John tells us, 1 John 4:4 tells us that even the Holy Spirit, right? So the Trinity empowers us to do, to be obedient, to make those right choices. You're of God, little children, and overcome them. Why? Why do you overcome and why do you make the right choices? Because greater is he that is in you, and this is talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we see the Trinity here empowering us in obedience. So here's the thing. If I fail today in knowing to do good and doeth it not, can I look at God and say it's your fault? No, because God has given me everything I need to do that. Matter of fact, I actually do at the end of the sermon. There's a verse in 2 Peter 1:10 that says, God has given us everything we need that pertaineth unto life. And he, so if we choose not to be obedient, it's my failure, not God's failure. John 13:17, if you knew these things, happy are ye, right? And we know these things. He has taught us. We know the Word of God. The Holy Spirit bears upon our spirit those things we should do. And then happy are we if and when we do them. And the other thing here that we see is happy are ye that do them, right? Our attitude matters. It's interesting. There's a verse in Corinthians, and I don't remember if it's 1 or 2 Corinthians, but it says that God loves a cheerful giver, that we're supposed to be giving as cheerful. And that word literally means that we're supposed to be laughing. We're supposed to be excited and happy to give. If our obedience is not because we want to, but because we have to, right? If you're a parent, sometimes you would tell your children to do something and they would do it, but you could tell they were doing it in protest, right? It's kind of like the parent that told the child to go sit in the corner, and the child says, I'm sitting on the outside, but standing on the inside, right? And so sometimes we do it, and yet our heart isn't in it. We don't really want to do it. Our attitude in our relationship and in our actions to God does matter. Do all things without murmuring, right? Yeah, sometimes we do a lot of complaining. Well, Lord, I'll do it, but why isn't so-and-so here helping me? Lord, I'll do it, but why does it really have to be done? Lord, I'll do it, but this doesn't make sense. Our attitude matters. It is a very key part in our relationship to God. And so we come back to our text. And the reason I pick this text is because it talks about that we do this service not for me, not for others, but we do it as we're doing it for the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, in your words and your actions, your attitude, do all in the name. Do it as if you're doing it to the Lord. And whatsoever you do heartily, as if you are serving the Lord. One of the things that's going to happen, I think it's Matthew 24, it may be 25, but in there somewhere, there's judgment, and Jesus is judging people, and he says to them that you're going to get benefit, go to my right hand. It's the judgment of the nations. He says, because you rewarded or you took care of those, no, you took care of me. You did things unto me. And they said, Lord, when did we do stuff for you? And it says, well, when you took care of my children, it was as if you were doing it to me. Whatever we do, do it heartily. There's the attitude part, right? As unto the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord, you're going to receive the reward of the inheritance. We don't do it for that, but there is a benefit. For ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, that is our sanctification. We're saved. We're going to heaven. We're going to get into heaven. We're going to spend eternity with God. But here's the thing. God wants more for us in eternity. And so when we are obedient here, we're going to have more. It says those who are serving him as he has described through his church and doing what he asks us to do, there's going to be reward. We're going to rule and reign with him. So that's the benefit then. But here's the thing. There's also benefit to serving him here now. He'll take care of us. In Matthew, it says, don't worry about the things of tomorrow. I will provide for you. We get so worried about all this stuff. So our serving God is not only for future benefit, but it's our also benefit now and in our relationship with God. So the very first thing that I want us to talk about in what we should do as children of God, we find that there's going to be seven actions, seven things that we should be doing after we're saved in obedience to God. And the first one is we should be doing the will of God. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So in Matthew, the sixth chapter, and there's another place where the disciples say, Lord, they came to him and said, teach us to pray. And it is almost identical. So this is to the Sermon on the Mount, and this is literally Jesus giving instructions to his discipleship, to his disciples, to his church. And he says, this is how you should pray. We don't say this prayer, but these should be some of the elements and the way that we should pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, right? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and here's the part that I want you to get to in dealing with the will of God. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That should be part of our prayer, is that God's will be done. And I have shared this with you before. There's only, when I pray God's will be done on earth, I cannot, I'm not praying that Brother Greg do God's will. I can pray for Brother Greg that he does God's will, but I can't make him. I can't help him. I can't, teach and come alongside, but it's his choice, right? Someone doing the will of God on earth, the only one I can affect is me. So when I pray, Lord's will being done on earth, that's praying that I make the choices to do the things that God wants me to do. Mark 3, verse 35, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, is my sister, is my mother. Special relationship. We're all children of God, but Jesus says, if you love me, right, keep my commandments. If you love me, do the will of God. And there's that special relationship that he talks about there. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And this kingdom of heaven is talking about being part of a special reward. We're going to be in heaven, but we, if we're not obedient, we're not going to get above and beyond rewards for our service. And then in dealing with also the will of God, in Hebrews 13:21, verse 21, I just want to get the idea that now the God of peace, the rest of the verse is good and important. First verse is verse 20, now the God of peace. Verse 21 says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Who makes us perfect? The God of peace, right? So the God of peace make you perfect. Perfect is, you ever make something? Some of you make stuff. I know Sister Diane does crafting, Sister Robin and some of the rest of you. I make stuff and some of you, I've shown some of you and you're like, oh, that's so good. And it's like, yeah, but I can show you every little flaw, every nick, I know where all those are. And yet God says he will make us perfect in every good work. And he knows how to cover all of those flaws. And folks, we have flaws, right? But he can cover those and in every good work so that we can do his will. Remember, I said we don't have to do this by ourselves. One of the first things I pointed out is that Christ Jesus helps us. God helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. And here, again, doing the will of God, God helps us. Working in you, that is well-pleasing in his sight, through or by Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So as I was doing this sermon and preparing for this and stating what we should do, there was two ways to approach it. One was to start listing everything we should do. And so I could list things like, is it the will of God to be baptized? Yes, so I could list that. We should one of the things we should do is be baptized. Is it God's will we be a church member? So I could list that. Worship, pray, study, and we could have, somebody has gone through and made lists, and you could go to the internet and say, all of the commands in the New Testament, and you'll see one list that's over 300 things that we should do or we should not do, okay? So having a sermon that has 300 plus things we should do, that'd be a long sermon, right? So I'm going to kind of keep it that we should do the will of God, right? And again, I have said, and I believe, we pretty much know what God wants us to do. Does any of us think that God doesn't, as a child of God, want us to be baptized or be a church member? I mean, we can go and want us to worship, want us to witness, want us to study, and again, we could list all those things. We know those are the will of God, right? And so the issue is, it's the how-to, and so that's why I've kept it more how to do the will of God. We know those are things that we should be doing in obedience to him. So I only have 7, right? And some of these are kind of have to do with the bigger picture of all the things that we should be doing. Love God and love others. So the second thing I have that we should do is obey the word of God. Now, is there a difference in doing the will of God and obeying the word of God? Technically, no, because the will of God is going to include the word of God, right? But again, I'm trying to keep it to the things that it commands us to do and where we get those specific commands that we should do and shouldn't do. James talks about this in dealing with the word of God and the importance of the word of God. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any of you be hearers of the word and not doers, and I think that James is kind of talking about the same thing I talk about sometimes. We know the what to do. I mean, when we hear the word of God and we hear and we know what we should do, James is saying, don't just be a hearer. Don't just be one that has the knowledge, but be a doer. The actions are necessary. It's like somebody looking, beholding himself in a mirror, like unto a man beholding himself, his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. And as he beholdeth himself, he goes his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he is. And whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. So I was dressed this morning. I put on my jacket. I got ready to go. I looked in the mirror, and I had this... Any of you have gray hair? They want to do their own thing. I had a gray hair right here sticking straight out. Now, I looked at that and I turned around, came to church. You want to see? No, I put that hair in place, right? So when I saw something that in that mirror that it needed to do, it motivated me, right? And that's what he's saying. So if you look in the mirror and you see something wrong with your appearance, you will fix it, you will change it. Well, the word of God is like that for us. As we look in the word of God and it points to my soul and my spirit and my body, and it points to me and it says, this is something that Jeff Harlan isn't doing in relationship to God, I'm motivated to fix it and make it right. And that's the same thing as he talks about holding, looking at a mirror. So as we hold up the word of God and we see the things that need to be fixed, we make the choices to be obedient and to obey the word of God. And so when we look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, right, knowing what we should do, but a doer of the word, this man, not just knowing what we should do, but a person who does what we should do, this man is blessed by God in his deeds. The third thing I want us to talk about in dealing with things we should do is obey his commands. And so we've kind of gone from really specific to the will of God, to where we find the will of God in the Word of God. And then we're getting even more specific to His commands, to the very instructions itself, to the this is that thing you should do, or this is the thing that you shouldn't do. So we should do His commandments, His instructions. Ye are my friends if, right? He said, in dealing with the will of God, that is the person who is my brother, my sister, my mother, that have that special relationship. You're my friends. You got this special relationship. We sing the song, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus, and yet we don't do what He tells us to do. And Jesus says, yes, we're children of God, but if you want to really have a close relationship with me, it behooves you to be obedient, to make choices. If you do whatsoever I command you to do. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Jesus says, if you're my friends, you're gonna be obedient. If you love me, you're going to be obedient. You're gonna know my commands, you're gonna keep them. There's gonna be choices and actions. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, will manifest him to myself. I think that has to do with I will acknowledge him. I think that has to do with my well done, thou faithful, good and faithful servant, when he talks about I will manifest him to myself. I will acknowledge those that are obedient. 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments, right? Not grievous. Sometimes it's like, oh, it's too hard. Well, Jesus says, he'll help us, right, to do that. God will help us to accomplish that. And they're not grievous. That goes back to that attitude thing, right? Doing it without murmuring and complaining. They're not tedious. They're not hard. They're not grievous. They're to our benefit. It will be to our benefit to be obedient to God. And then in 1 John 3, verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. So one action in obedience helps with another action in obedience. Are we to pray? Yes. So we pray and we say, Lord, give me this, or Lord, help me do that. And so we do all this prayer. But then if we don't keep his other commandments, right, it hinders our prayers. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, right? Because we keep his commandments, our prayers are conditioned upon the level of our obedience. We hinder our prayers when we are not being obedient to God, and do these things that are pleasing, and we can talk about the will of God there, that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ, that and that is having faith. This isn't salvation believing. This is putting our trust, our faith, our hope, being willing to not worry about everyday things, putting our trust in him and loving one another as he has commanded us. And he that keeps his commandments dwelleth in him, continually has a good relationship in he and him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. This is one of the proofs of our salvation, is our obedience, and that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. The fourth thing that I want us to look at and consider in the things that we should do in our obedience to God, in our relationship to God, is do good. I mean, so we talk about the will of God, we talk about the Word of God, and then we talk about the commandments and talk about doing good. And sometimes we can do stuff, but our attitude matters. And we can do stuff for somebody and say something for somebody, and we can cause hurt, even though it may be the right thing we're doing, but the way in which we do it can be hurtful. And so we need to do good. It says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do I have to, Lord? Right? That's hard. Do good, right? Do good to them that hate you. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think ye for sinners? The world does that. You know, somebody is pay somebody a compliment, you kind of feel like you have to pay them a compliment. So that's kind of the motivation for the world. But for us, we don't do it expecting anything in return. Even if somebody hates us, isn't our friend, we show the love of God when we do good to even those that do not love us and do not do good unto us. Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good them that hate you, pray for them, right, that despitefully use you, pray for them that persecute you. That's sometimes one of the hardest things to do, is do good, pray for them, lift them up, encourage them. But that is part of the things that we should do in our relationship with God. And continuing this idea of things that we are to do in doing good, Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good, right? Not just to those that hate us, but if you got an opportunity to do something, just be kind to somebody. I saw, as a Home Depot, and a lady had bought this great big box, and she was trying to load it in, and people were walking by, I was a few rows over, and I came over, and I said, could I help you? And she's like, well, I was going to go get somebody in the store but she was so appreciative. Just do good. You know, if somebody drops something, just do good. Look for opportunity to do good to everybody, especially to them, right? Our brothers and sisters, Christ, the household of faith. But do good to everybody. Let him eschew evil. So do good, don't do evil, right? Do good, don't do bad. That's one of the things that we should do. Let him seek peace, ensue it, pursue things that bring peace among our fellow Christians, among others. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, right? I want to be on God's good side, which means I need to do good. We talk about the will of God, and the Word of God is where we get it, the commandments. And then we talk about, is it a commandment that if somebody drops something and I see it, yet I'm busy, is it a command that I got to stop and say, hey, and help that person? Not a specific commandment, except do good, right? If we see somebody in need, do good, help, be helpful. And I understand, I'm not talking about putting yourself in danger or anything like that. I understand that. But when we have opportunity, do good unto others. Therefore, James says, to him that knoweth to do good, right? That little bitty action that you see and you think, oh, I, you know, need to do this or need to do that, and doeth it not, that becomes a sin in of itself. Do good. Be kind. It's another way to word that. Another thing that we should do is we should forgive others. And I know that this is part of that list. We know we should pray. We know we should study. But this is such a biggie in the do list, and I think we sometimes struggle with it, because it's like, Lord, you don't know what that person's done to me. And the answer is, yes, he does know what that person's done to you. And the issue is, when we say that, we are showing we don't know the fact that the Lord has forgiven that person, and if they haven't, ask for forgiveness, the Lord would ask forgiveness. And we're supposed to be that extension of God, of Jesus Christ and his mercy and his grace. And so this issue of forgiving, and it's such a hard thing sometimes. It's not always easy. The things we should do aren't always easy, but they are necessary, and they're to our benefit in our relationship with God and our relationship to others. Forbear one another. That literally means pick people up, to lift them up. Lighten their burden. Forgive one another. And if any man have a quarrel, an argument against any, even as Christ has forgiven you, so also, right? It's like, yeah, but they haven't asked for forgiveness. This doesn't say. Now, there are verses that says, if someone approaches you and says, forgive me, we are commanded, right, to forgive that person if they approach us. This has nothing to do with them approaching us, right? This is, if there is this thing going on, and the older I get, the more I understand, as I was a child, and a young adult, people would say, well, it does us more harm in not forgiving than it does that person. And as I get older, I see that anger, that bitterness, that all of that stuff, that energy we take, and it's negative, and it's against the very principle of God. He came to forgive. Mercy and grace is the very thing that God exudes and exemplifies. And yet, when we're unforgiving, we're not merciful, we're not graceful, and we're not exemplifying godly characters. As Christ forgave you, even so, you need to forgive that individual. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I know I used this earlier in dealing with the will of God, but this is a little farther in the Lord's Prayer, after he talks about the will of God, after this manner pray. And then in verse 12, he talks about one of the things we should be praying about is this issue of forgiving others, that we let this sin debt go. And it says, and forgive as he has forgiven, or I'm sorry, this is what we're to pray. Forgive us our debts, our sins, those things that we have been credited against us as a sin. Forgive me of that as we forgive our debtors, as those have sinned against us. Here's the key. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, here's the thing. This thing we should do, what God does for us hinges upon that. For God to forgive us, it says if we have aught, if we have unforgiven people in our life, that it will hinder our relationship. It will literally hinder him for forgiving us. Neither will your heavenly Father forgive you, right? That's one of the very things that God is about. Forgiveness, mercy, grace, and thus he requires that of us. Again, there are verses that says if somebody comes and says, forgive me. But this verse doesn't. I am to be forgiving, loving, kind, merciful, graceful, even if it is not asked. Do good unto your enemies. One of the things that could be good that I could do for my enemy is to forgive them, that I don't hold it to their account what they've done harm to me. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, right? There's that condition again, and ye shall be forgiven. Number 6. Again, will of God, right? But this is such a biggie that I want to talk about it specifically. Confessing our sins. What we should do as the children of God when we make a mistake, when we are in disobedience, when the Holy Spirit bears upon our spirit that we should be, that we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, and we need to ask forgiveness. We need to confess our sins. He is faithful. He is just. We put Jesus into action and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the most fascinating pictures in heaven is that Jesus is sitting at the right hand waiting to intercede on our behalf. When I pray, forgive me of a sin, Jesus literally turns to God. There is that action. Now, there's millions of people on the earth that are asking God, and I don't know how this is done, and obviously God is super quick, but Jesus turns and says, Father, forgive, and we know that he does, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Psalms 32:5, this is after David had sinned with Bathsheba, and he starts to acknowledge his sin, and he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, I acknowledge my iniquity that I have, and I have not hid my sin. When I realized it, I acknowledge my sin. God, forgive me. I confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou then, right? That's when, after our confession, if we confess, he is faithful. If we don't confess, there's no forgiveness. I will confess, and then thou will forgivest the iniquity of my sin. Psalms 38:18, for I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. I said there were seven. The seventh one, we're going to look at that next week. Peter tells us some things that we should do, so I'm going to wait on that, and we'll do that one next week. So if the pianist and song leader will come forward, let's all stand. In my closing verse, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says this. He says, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, whatever you're doing, sleeping, walking, eating, drinking, whatever you're doing, do all to the glory of God. What we should do. And we know the will of God, the word of God, his commandments, do good, forgive others, ask for forgiveness. And then we know all those other, some 300 plus things we should do and shouldn't do. How are you doing in your relationship with God, in your action in serving God, in your attitude of serving God? What page do you have for us?